So, thank you all very much for being here today to hear Bhagavatam. We have an interesting list of verses, actually, a whole bunch of verses we're reading today until we get to one that has a purport. We're starting with Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 6, Texts 17 through 26. So first, I'll just read the first verses, and then we'll do the recitation when we get to 626. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Starting with 6:17. Taistascha chabut pradanam tumalam namaharshanam yamaya balaya anayad daichan abhi yayur mrade. There was a fierce battle between the demons, and Paranjaya, indeed, is so fierce that when one hears about it, one's hairs stand on end. All the demons bold enough to come before... All the demons who were bold enough to come before Paranjaya were immediately sent to the residence of the Yamaraj by his arrows. Text 18. Tasyeshu patabe mukam yugan tagnam ivol banam visrija du dravur daitya hanyamanas famalayam. To save themselves from the blazing arrows of Indravaha, which resembled the flames of devastation at the end of the millennium, the demons who remained when the rest of their army was killed, fled very quickly to their respective homes. Text 19. Jatpaparam danam sarvam sastrakam vajrapanaye patyayachat sarajarshir itinamabir ahrita. After conquering the enemy, the saintly king Paranjaya gave everything, including the enemy's riches and wives, to Indra, who carries a thunderbolt. For this he is celebrated as Paranjaya. Thus Paranjaya is known by different names because of his different activities. Paranjaya shaputro bhud anenastad sita pritu Vishvagandastatashchandro yuvanashashvatatatsuta. The son of Paranjaya was known as Anena. Anena's son was Prithu, and Prithu's son was Vishvagandhi. Vishvagandhi's son was Chandra, and Chandra's son was Yuvanashva. Text 21. Shavatastatsuto yena Shavasti nirmame puri brihadashvashtasharvashtishtatakuvalayashvaka. The son of Yuvanashva was Shravasta, who constructed a township known as Shavastapuri. The son of Shravasta was Brihadvashva, and his son was Kuvalashva. In this way, the dynasty increased. Text 22. Ya priyatamatan kashya Dundanama Sharambali Sutana Mekavir Svangstya Sahasraya Hanadvrita. Sit still. To satisfy the sage Uttanka, the greatly powerful Kuvalashva killed a demon named Dundhu. He did this with the assistance of his 21,000 sons. Wow. No small number, 21,000 sons. Woo! Text 23 and 24. Dundumara iti kyatas tatatas teja jashvalu. Dandhor Mukandigna Sarve Taya Eva Vasheshita Dedavashva Kapislash Joscha Padrashva Itabharata Dedashva Putro Haryashva Nikumbasta Sutasmrita. O Maharaj Parikshit, for this reason, Kubalaya Ashva is celebrated as Dundu Kumara, the killer of Dundhu. All but three of his sansara were burnt to ashes by the fire emanating from Dundhu's mouth. The remaining sons were Dhridashva, Kapilashva, and Bhadrashva. From Dhridashva came a son named Haryashva, whose son is celebrated as Nakumba. Text 25. Bahukashva Nakumbashya Tritashasho Tashashinajit Yuvanasho Bhavatashya. The son of Nakumba was Bahulashva. The son of Bahulashva was Krishashva. The son of Krishashva was Senajit, and the son of Senajit was Yuvanashva. Yuvanashva had no sons, and thus he retired from family life and went to the forest. And that brings us to this wonderful verse today, text 26. Bhaya Shutena Nirvinna Rishaya Ashya Kapalava Ishtim Sma Vadayam Chakru Aindrim Te Su Samahita Baryashatena Vir Nirvinna Vishayoshva Kapalava Ishtim Smavartayam Chakrur Aindrante Susamahita Baryashatena. With 100 wives, Nirvinna, very morose, Rishaya, the sages in the forest, Asya, unto him, Kapalava, very merciful, Ishtim, a ritualistic ceremony, Sma, in the past, Vatayam, Chakru, began to execute, Aindrim, known as an Indra-yagya, Te, all of them, Susamahita, being very careful and attentive. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Padamahamsa Padibhujakacharja Astadarasadashi Shriman Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad. Although Yuvanashva went into the forest with his 100 wives, all of them were very morose. The sages in the forest, however, being very kind to the king, began very carefully and attentively performing an Indra-yagya so that the king might have a son. Purport. One may enter the Vanaprastha order of life with his wife, but the Vanaprastha order means complete retirement from household life. Although King Yuvanashva retired from family life, he and his wives were always morose because he had no son. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadaitam Savadutam Pradijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschacha deshatarine mukam karoti vachanam pangum namyagate girim yad kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam. So, this great personality, now he has gone to the forest to enter the vanaprastha order of life. In our Vedic culture, we have four orders. We have brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. In three of these four orders, there is no sex life, and only in grihastha life is there a license for sex, but even that is restricted. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport in the Bhagavatam only once in a month. And he also explained early in the movement and even just before his departure, he explained before that once in a month, the husband and wife, they will both chant 50, that's 50 at least, he said at least 50 rounds of japa. So the whole idea of Vedic culture is to get free from this entanglement with lust. Kamadev is flying around with his quiver full of arrows, shooting everybody's heart. This whole world right now is a big target for Kamadev. Everybody is lusty. They're going crazy after sex everywhere. It's sex, 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 sex. Yes. But Krishna consciousness means to become transcendental to sex. Even if you're a householder, you utilize sex for bringing a saintly child into the world, not as some recreational sport, is it? So what to do if you have this background, you have this tendency to be very lusty. It's like when Prabhupada started the movement, the original devotees were all hippies, and we were having sex like anything, the hippie movement, you see. So what do you do with that when you have that kind of mentality? How do you deal with it to actually get peaceful and happy? Just being, you know, detached from sex and attached to Krishna and Guru. How do you make that transition? How do you jump the gap from being lusty to being, you know, from kama to prema, we're talking about here. How do you bridge the gap between kama and prema? There's a very nice acharya in this regard. He's given a beautiful prayer in Sanskrit. This Maharaj was formerly a king. He had so much sense gratification. King meant harem. And harem means all those girls are yours for sex pleasure. So formerly he was a king having all this sex pleasure, but then he became a great Vaishnava. And he wrote a very beautiful prayer. Yadavadi mamma cheta Krishna pedara vinde Nava nava rasadamu yat charantu masip Tadabadi bhattanari smansam game smayamane bhavati mukunishtivanam cha. ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure and sweetness and nectar in that relationship. Whatever due to my past activities as a king with those girls, whenever my mind thinks of those things, my lips immediately curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So this, of course, we're not talking about, you know, spitting on the ground. It's this mental, within your heart you're spitting, you see. Not that we're saying all devotees should get some spittoons and walk around with spittoons, spitting every time you get lusty. Spit everywhere, you know, that wouldn't work out so well. But we have learned how to spit within our hearts, you see. You see, that's why in the Vedic culture, every woman, except for my wife, she is my mother, you see. Would you want to have sex with your mother? What kind of debauchee would you be wanting to have sex with your mother, you see? So we're taught every woman is my mother, you see. She's my mother, you see. That is the vision, you see. She's my mother. Mother means worshipable, you see. She's worshipable. She's worshipable, my mother. Oh, my mother, you see. So in this way, we learn how to get free of this tendency. And of course in the material they say, well, you Hare Krishnas, you're just artificial, you know, you don't know how to enjoy. I mean, why are you depriving yourself? You know, they would find fault with us for being some kind of fanatics, you know. But the fact is that we know how to actually enjoy, you see. We know how what actual enjoyment is. Karmi, what is their enjoyment in it? It's just like scratching an itch. What's pleasure in there scratching an itch, you see? The fact is that the pleasure of one pure utterance of Krishna's name, Krishna, if we can learn how to chant with absolute purity, it's better than having sex with 10 million virgin girls. That's how much nectar there is, Krishna. We just have to learn how to say Krishna with love. Complete, total giving, you see. This mood of love is very, very essential. That's what finally convinced me to become one of you Hare Krishnas. I was associating with you all out there in Frisco in 68 and Berkeley in 69. But, you know, I like the chanting and I like the prasadam, but to me it looked like the military, you know, like boot camp or something. I wasn't ready. But then I met Vishnu John Swami in 71. He came to Austin, Texas. And the way he preached was so amazing. He said, give your love to Krishna. That got me. That convinced me. Yeah. Give your love to Krishna. Not like, stay in, soldier. Don't be in Maya. No, it was, just give your love to Krishna, you see. And I heard that. I said, yeah. And then Prabhupada confirmed it. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness, Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So that was a very good training. We have to learn how to give our love to Krishna. There was one song he used to sing. Instead of loving a dog or a cat, give your love to Krishna, who made all of that. So that's the key, you see. When you can actually give, when we actually learn that art of how to give our love to Krishna, you see, then that is the perfection of love. Because then you're loving every living entity with absolute perfection. Every man, every woman, every dog, every cat, every mosquito. When we actually can get out of this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy and purely love Krishna with total, complete abandon. No other desire except to please my beloved Krishna, you see. Then we feel the greatest satisfaction because now we're in a state of perfect love with every living entity in all of existence. You see. So that's what we're trying to learn here, how to love, you see. How to actually love, you see. Real love, you see. That's what Prabhupada is teaching us, you see. By his example, by his books, through his followers, you see. We have to learn this, the art of how to become perfect in love. then there won't, anxiety won't exist anymore, actually. Because when one actually enters in that mood of loving Krishna with every thought, with every word, with every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, then you actually experience, tangibly experience, how everything that's happening to you at every minute is the loving mercy of Krishna, he said. The so-called good, bad, beautiful, and ugly is all Krishna's mercy, you see. That vision then becomes manifest. The more we learn how to always give our love to Krishna, give our love to Krishna, give our love to Krishna, then we feel how that love is coming back to us. Krishna is not a greedy lover. Actually, he reciprocates 10,000 times over. Whatever step you take towards Krishna, he takes 10,000 steps to you. So it's a pretty good investment. Just imagine some investment you could do in the market. We put down $1, get 10,000 back. You take your 10,000, you get a million back. I mean, this is there's no better investment than bhakti yoga. Absolute is the best, the ultimate investment, no doubt about it, you see. Just give your even one little tiny bit of love to Krishna. Just try to do one thing with love for Krishna every day. Or two things, or three things. Or why not say, Krishna, please bless me now that on this day I can do everything, every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, places, and situations will be purely an act of loving service to you, you see. Why not pray that way? Or actually, we have a special mantra for that purpose. There's a special mantra that puts us into this mood of loving Krishna. Here's how it goes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you see. We're begging Krishna, we're begging Radharani, please engage me in this loving devotional service. Please, let me now fully absorb myself. So instead of chanting our rounds mechanically, let us chant in the mood of begging Radha and Krishna to fully absorb us in this loving service, you see. This is powerful stuff, and it really works. If you actually apply this very seriously, very sincerely, and very steadily, you will make incredible spiritual advancement every day, guaranteed. This process is so powerful it can liberate the whole world. Prabhupada even says that one pure devotee can deliver the whole world. You see, that's the great power of this Krishna consciousness movement. So let each of us now strive to be that pure devotee. You can have a great impact on this world around us, you see. If each one of us strives to be a pure devotee, you see. Just like we have that nice prayer we sing every morning called the Nrisinga prayers. Prabhupada has expanded on, there's four words in the Nrisinga prayers which are very, very powerful. Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingho. Prabhupada has expanded on what these four words mean. A wonderful, wonderful explanation. He says, may Lord Nrisingadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Now, what does that peace mean? The UN? You know, cease? No, that peace means Krishna consciousness, you see. So did you know you're praying every day that you can make the whole world Krishna conscious? You are praying every day that you can be a pure devotee, you can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That's what we're singing, Bahir Nrisinga Hridaye Nrisinga. So let not just say it mechanically, let's actually be in that mood that yes, let I now become the pure devotee and let me now have a big impact on this world as much as I can possibly impact it. As much as, you know, Harinams, book distribution, cultivation programs. Please, Krishna, bless me. I can have a big impact to help so many people out of the delusion, you see. You know what Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles on the beach? Really powerful thing he told us that morning on the beach in L.A. He said, become perfect in understanding the science of Krishna, become guru, and deliver the whole world. Deliver the whole world? Yeah, that's our duty. we ISKCONers have inherited a duty from our beloved founder Acharya. Our duty is to deliver the whole world. We're meant to make the whole world Krishna conscious. One could say, well, that's impossible. I mean, you know, how could we possibly, you know, I mean, you know, having, you know, Trump having a kirtan in the White House? I mean, are you kidding? Well, the thing is, we have to make the endeavor. We have to make the endeavor. And it's actually, we have the Kali Santarvana Upanishad on our side. And it was reinforced by a discussion Prabhupada had with Allen Ginsberg many, many years ago. Kalir dasa sahasrani mad bhakta samti bhutale. In a 10,000 year period of within the Kali Yuga, the whole world will become filled with devotees. That's predicted in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. The whole world, ma bhakta samti bhutale, the whole world will become full of my devotees. So Prabhupada explained in his conversation with poet Ginsberg that 10,000 year period began 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There will be a 5,000 year increase in which the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, and then it'll taper off and Kali will come on full blast. And all the Vaishnavas will be hiding so they're not eaten by the cannibals. It'll be that bad. But right now we're in the upswing. That's pretty enlivening. We're in the upswing, you see. 500 plus years of that upswing, and how fast it happens, it's up to us. Depends on how pure we chant Hare Krishna, you see. It's up to each and every one of us. Each one of us can be a part of that Krishnaization of the entire planet. It's right there in your bead bag. You got a spiritual revolution right there in your bead bag, you see. You see. Chant with as much purity as you can muster. Be strict in following the regulated principles. Cultivate loving relationships with all the Vaishnavas, you see. Actually, every Vaishnava is worshipable. Some may say, well, I like Krishna, but I don't like those devotees, you know. Bunch of jerks. I don't like the devotees. But what does Krishna say in the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta state jana, huh? Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te ma bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, dame bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So there's the key, as we say in Texas, y'all. Learn how to be devoted to every devotee. Learn how to feel love and appreciation for every single Vaishnava, you see. The senior ones, the ones on the same level, all levels. The new ones, the big leaders, the famous leaders, the new bhaktas just washing the pots over there. Learn how to love and appreciate every single devotee. Because the more we do that, the more Krishna recognizes us for being his devotees, and the more he showers his mercy upon us. So we actually have a formula, we have a blessing that we can actually have a huge impact now on global history. Some devotees are so enthusiastic to see that this prediction comes true, they want to take birth after birth until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. They say, well, Goloka can wait. This is very exciting stuff here, this Chaitanya's movement. Let me take birth after birth until that prediction comes true and the whole world is filled up with Vaishnavas. Some devotees are actually praying that way and begging Krishna for that mercy. So we're very fortunate that we have this opportunity to be connected with this great, great, great Vaishnavacharya who is very, very dear to Krishna. You see? By becoming dear to Prabhupada, by becoming dear to the followers of Prabhupada, that's how we become very, very, very dear to Krishna. Become dear to Krishna, then your life becomes perfect. So we have a great blessing. We have the greatest mercy you could ever imagine pouring on us like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. The mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of Gauranga, the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the mercy of Radha and Krishna, the mercy of all these great Vaishnava Acharyas are pouring on us. We are the current link in this siddhic succession going all the way back to Brahmaji. All these Acharyas are pouring their mercy down upon us right now at this very minute to bless us that now we can carry forward this prediction and bring it into fruition, you see. Making the whole world Krishna conscious. So, maybe there's some questions. Everything's clear? Any questions? Yeah, question? I can't hear very well, so maybe somebody can be here telling me what the question is. Let me try. I got my hearing aid maxed out. Now let's see if I can make it up. Oh, we got a microphone. That may help. May or may not help. We'll try.
Sri Guru, you mentioned that you gave an example of King Yamunacharya.
Yamunacharya, right.
Previously, he was a king and he had access to unlimited sex.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he got into bhakti yoga and then his heart was transferred.
Got a higher taste, yeah.
So then, for a devotee like myself, yoga and girl, like what is that primary requirement that transformation of the heart happens?
How you want to know how to get that transformation of heart?
Lusty, so much lusty to no lust at all.
How to get free from that lusty tendency, but first of all, you have to realize that that lusty tendency is your enemy. First thing you have to realize, it's an enemy. Then you have to also understand that the pleasure of Krishna consciousness completely defeats it. It's not actually real pleasure. It's just an illusion of pleasure. The real happiness for the living entity, you have to realize that you're an eternal spiritual being from the spiritual world who misuses free will to try to be separate from Krishna. And you're in this world where people think sex is the greatest pleasure, but it's an illusion. It's actually just another agitation. It's not really pleasure. It just seemed to be pleasurable. You have to understand these things. Your real position is to be revived as an eternal associate of Krishna in the spiritual world by now taking up this sadhana bhakti process very seriously and under the guidance of your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you see. So if you take up that mood of if you understand that this is just an illusion, there's nothing really there. It's maya sukaya, illusory happiness. That my real happiness is to revive that loving relationship with Krishna. When you have that understanding and you go forth following the teachings of Prabhupada very sincerely, rising every morning for Mangal Arati, worshipping Tulsi Devi, worshipping the spiritual master, studying the Bhagavatam, reading Prabhupada's books, you take up the process of sadhana bhakti, you'll actually feel how you'll be getting over that disease. You'll find an awakening of transcendental emotions within your heart. You'll taste it. You'll experience it. And even just a drop of it will give you great encouragement. So whatever little transcendental encouragement you've gotten, capitalize on that and go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it'll just be a non-issue at a certain point in your life. It'll be a whole non-issue. You get over it completely. Next. Yes, Prabhu.
In the class you mentioned, if I express your love for the mosquito, so in practical reality I saw that when in 78 we were doing Namahantas in Bengal with Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, in one hand I had to maintain this body to serve Prabhupada's Namahanta program. At the same time I was put in a place where there was no mosquito net and mosquitoes loved my blood. What will be my attitude to express showing love to them? I mean, can you practically tell me, like, what is that love?
You can regretfully kill them. K- let them hear Hare Krishna while they're leaving their bodies. Hare Krishna. Next. Is it written down?
Yes.
I can barely read better. I can hear.
So the question is, if one is chanting while sleeping, can the chanting be?
If one is what?
Chanting, if someone is chanting while sleeping.
Chanting while sleeping?
Yeah.
Wow, I should become their student. I'd have to learn to do that too. Can one chant in one's sleep would have pure Shuddha Nam chanting while you're sleeping? Well, I'm sure there's some great devotees like Prabhupada can do that. I'm not there yet. If in your sleep you're actually chanting Hare Krishna and begging Krishna for pure devotional service, that would be pure chanting, certainly. Huh? Not your japa, you can. No, I chant my japa in my sleep, no. Somebody might be, some very exalted Vaishnava, he might be having dreams of Krishna and his pastime and might be in ecstasy chanting Hare Krishna in his sleep. That would be a very advanced devotee. I'd like to meet that devotee and learn from him. Next.
You mentioned when you heard before that after during the 500 years of the golden period. So when this golden period stops, it's completed, then
The golden era ends after 10,000 years.
Yeah.
10,000 years after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, the golden era of Chaitanya will end and Kali Yuga will come on full force. At that point, is the scriptures say that Vaishnavas will be going to hiding because the whole world will become filled with cannibals. Be like cannibals in the jungle. The whole planet will be like that.
So, yeah, you partly answered my question, actually, because the devotees will go into hiding or they will go back, or are they going to...
There will be some devotees staying around so that when Kalki comes and kills all the demons, they can inaugurate the next Satya Yuga. They will be staying for that purpose, that they can inaugurate the next Satya Yuga.
So my question further is that this Kali Yuga is going to start and the place is already filled up with devotees with sleep. So are these new souls that are taking birth, which are going to bring on the Kali Yuga? Where are these? Why, if everything is already Krishna conscious, the whole world is like peak of Krishna conscious, and why is Kali Yuga coming in? Are these new souls?
Kali Yuga is a natural, just like you have four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. It's a natural sequence in the material world. You say, why do we have to have these nasty ages? Well, because this material world is not our actual home. Don't expect this material world to be like Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but it's just my shortcoming. I'm maybe not managing to express my actual question. So these devotees, they're going to go into hiding, some will stay. So who is bringing in the... Is it the devotees are getting, or are these new souls are taking birth, which are going to bring on the...
I don't quite understand. New souls taking... There's always people taking birth here.
Yeah.
But some people will be taking birth as devotees. A small, very, very small number will be taking birth as devotees.
Okay. So, yeah. I think what you're
saying... In other words, to keep Vaishnava culture... They'll keep the seed of Vaishnava culture going. Keep it alive so that when Kalki comes and annihilates all the demons and they can then manifest it... this complete global Vedic culture once again.
Okay, so even though it's all Krishna conscious, the new souls that are coming in, they're the ones who are going to bring in.
They'll be acting as, they'll be the servants, of, they'll be assisting Kalki. He's coming to annihilate the demons and to usher in the new age, and they'll be to assist him in bringing the Satya Yuga back in. Those devotees, who, those dedicated souls who are sticking it out through the whole Kali Yuga will be doing that as a service so that they or their descendants can be the assistants to help Kalki bring the Satya Yuga back. It's a very austere mission, but it's a very important mission. And they're very, those devotees will be very, very dear to the Lord, very, very dear souls to the Lord. Would you like to be one of them?
Just trying to be a devotee, giving you a blessing. I'm a devotee.
Question is that which living entities are going to fill the Kali Yuga after the 10,000 period of.
After the 10,000 year period,
are these new living entities when they come here will become?
There's always going to be new living entities falling in the material world. That's the nature. There are always new living entities falling into this hellish trap. There's always new living entities coming in. Yes? Are you satisfied now? Finished? Okay, next. Wait, guy, it's just a mumble. I'll try with the mic if I can figure it out.
Thanks for your wonderful class. But as you told about the King Yamuna Chagre, and you told us we have to convert lust to love. So, like a sadhaka, like me, nearby devotee, I'm trying. But sometimes in my mind, I'm totally defeated by this lusty thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how to, then I feel very depressed, like I'm trying and still I'm not able to do. So I feel very depressed or frustrated. So how to overcome that and continue with my sadhana?
Yes, there's a nice prayer that I remember when, as a young brahmachari, I can relate what you're saying. I had a wonderful prayer that gave me great help. It's from Narottam Das. Ha ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balokam Nakoro Amibado Dukhi. My dear Lord Nityananda, I see that you are full of unlimited spiritual bliss, but I'm the most miserable, wretched rascal. Please, therefore, cast your suffering like anything. I'm depressed, I'm miserable. Please cast your glance of mercy upon me so that I can also become happy. That's a very good prayer when you're depressed. It's right there in our songbook. You're begging Lord Nityananda to bless you with transcendental bliss. You may say, isn't that selfish? Well, it must be bona fide because Narottam prayed it. We can pray that prayer. We're begging to be blissed with transcendental happiness by Narottam. We can by Lord Nityananda. So we can pray that way if you get depressed. Just beg Lord Nityananda to have special mercy on you. Share some of that bliss with you. You see, so you can come out of your depression. It really works. I was sent out for 2 years to Norman, Oklahoma, which is a very backwards place, all by myself. Tamal Krishna Goswami sent out all by myself for 2 years. I was all alone. Just me and Norman, Oklahoma, a very backwards place. That song gave me great solace because it wasn't easy to be alone out there with no association. Just associating with a few karmis, you know, trying to make them devotees. So it's a very powerful prayer. It works really well. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Bado Kanabar Ami Bodo Dukhi. Okay, now we our time is almost up, and I've been asked. There's a little special nectar treat now at the beginning of the class we're doing, starting today, and I get to inaugurate it. It's called Sri Damodarashtaka. I'm just going to read the first verse today. Namamishvaram Satchirananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajananam. Repeat. Namamishvaram Satchirananda Rupam Latsat kundalam gokule brajamanam Jashoda viyo lukalandavamanam Param rishchamad yantato drucha gopya Jashoda viyo lukalandavamanam Param rishchamad yantato drupa gopya. Translation. To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss, whose shark-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who's beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokula, who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter and stealing the butter that was hanging, that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Jasoda, and it was finally caught from behind by her, who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. So it's just about 9 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And we thank you all very much for tuning in. Please always stay tuned into this channel called Krishna Consciousness. Your life will be unlimited sublime, and we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. Ki jai! Hare Krishna.